3, 2, 3, 1. That should have been 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Delaware Live Music, part of the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. Rehoboth Social Podcast Network has fine podcasts dealing with food, addiction and recovery, film, music gear, food, did I mention food, live music, and a lot of things. We're brought to you by Soldale Thompson Island Brewing Company. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Soldale Concepts, and they're excited to open Thompson Brewing Company this fall, their 12th location. Thompson Island will be a 250-seat brew pub located off Route 1 next to Blue Coast Rehoboth. The brew pub will pay homage to the area and will feature an outdoor beer garden with fun activities at our beach. They're also excited to partner with Trogues Independent Brewing, which together they will feature award-winning craft beers. Their menu will feature amazing food crafted by Chef Doug Rooley, which will include local, fresh ingredients and wood-fired favorites. Say that 5 times fast. Which will pair perfectly with our beer. Follow along and stay up to date as Thompson Island Brewing comes to life. Make sure to follow them on Facebook at Thompson Island Brewing Company or at www.thompsonislandbrewing.com. And with that said, I'll also mention you can find any of our fine podcasts on Spotify or Audioboom, as well as other locations. Anyway, to the show. We've got in the studio today a real treat for you, in my humble opinion. I got Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Jim. Thanks. Thanks for having me here.
No problem. Brian Howard is, we're very fortunate to have him in the last couple of years, he'll tell you about that, moved down to our humble state. He was very familiar with it, of course, but moved here from Pennsylvania, and he is a master luthier, builder of fine instruments.
Yeah, and, we should probably take a minute because the term luthier is probably not one a lot of people are even familiar with.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because they are.
It's usually the first question I get. What exactly is a luthier? So what that is, I basically make and service stringed instruments. The term luthier derives from the word lute, which is the earliest of the modern stringed instruments. Everything we know today, from violins and cellos to guitars and banjos, owes its humble beginnings to the lute. So traditionally, those of us who build these things or repair these things are known as luthiers.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I don't want to confuse the issue, because if I don't clear this up now, I'll be flooded tomorrow with violins that I can't work on.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you said that, because, you know, sometimes I get a... in the past week, I've mentioned, and since we decided that, since you agreed to come on, I was telling some people, or when I bought a guitar off you recently, and when I was telling them about you, when I mentioned, he's this really good luthier, they go, what's that?
Yeah.
Guitar maker.
I specialize a little bit further. My specialty is fretted stringed instruments.
There you go.
If your instrument has strings and frets, and I will work on the occasional fretless electric bass, but pretty much if it's got strings and frets, banjos, dulcimers, mandolins, guitars, all that fun stuff.
And Brian, let's go ahead and tell them exactly where you're located. Let's start that right now.
I
just want to beat that up today.
Conveniently located in the center of the universe, Magnolia, Delaware.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I am just right off the square, just a couple doors down from the world-famous Magnolia restaurant.
There you go.
You can't miss me. There's a sign out the street. The shop does sit back a ways, but as soon as you look back, you'll see painting of a 7-foot-tall fish playing a guitar, riding some waves. You can't miss the place, trust me. And once you're there, we can help you with all things guitar.
Brian and I became friends, believe it or not. Say what you want about social media, but we became friends on Facebook. Never met each other, and he was up in Pennsylvania, right? Where exactly in PA were you?
So we were right outside Hershey, Pennsylvania, where they make all the chocolate bars.
Yeah.
That's originally where I'm from that area. So next question I usually get is, how'd we get here?
Yeah, right. Right. And you told me that, but I'll let you tell again.
I'm just going to give the highlights on that because it's a very long and somewhat boring story. When I was young, my parents, you know, they split up. They went their own ways. And my mother's second husband had a place down here, first on Slaughter Beach. And then he got a place in Milford and had a place there for a while. And that's how I refer to him as my brother. He's actually my stepbrother. He has lived down here in various places since about 76 or so. And he's probably one of the closest things
familiar with the area.
Yeah, he's the closest thing I really have to a true relative outside of my wife and my son, of course. As I got older, it just seemed like, you know, we should be together again, and it's been really working out. I've missed him a lot. You know, I did spend a lot of time down here. I know the area very well.
Well, cool, and we're fortunate that you did that because it was about. I remember you telling me like, "Hey, I'm going to be moving down," and I was like, "You know, well, you got to let me know." And one day I'm sitting, it was a grayish day. I don't know why. That's the way it is in my head. And you knocked on my little studio door where I teach and record and do all kinds of fun stuff. And you brought the guitar. I think you brought the one you have today. One of the ones.
Yeah, I brought that one there.
Yeah. The viewers can't see it, but we are treated with two handmade guitars today that we're drooling over. I'm drooling over. So we'll get to those in a bit. But so we're glad to have you. And next thing I know, I'm like... You know, I got to see and play your guitar, so we became fast friends and bump into each other at kind of some events, folk festival things.
I like it down here. It's a very small community. You know, not that we came from a large community, but we were where we were. It was just outside of Harrisburg,
right.
As well. Most people don't know Harrisburg as well as they know Hershey because of the candy bars.
Right. Speaking of which, I'm glad you found your way here to the 64th floor of the Milton Towers here in the Metropolis. No, I don't know. Tom always does that so much better than I do. Okay. But anyway, can we, and we can jump back and forth. No format here. Can we, since we mentioned the guitars, you explain which ones you brought today?
Sure. So I brought two significant guitars. They're my personal guitars. I'll start off with this. Howard Guitars, which is my current business today, started, we're in our 11th year right now. But way prior to that, there was another attempt at this that went incredibly poorly. I wasn't up to the task. I had to spend a lot more time learning woodworking, high-end woodworking.
Good to mention, though.
It's a fanatical craft. It really is. And, you know, when I was young, I wanted to be like Paul Reed Smith. He was really hot.
Right.
Bernie Rico from BC Rich Guitars. These guys were like my idols. And it's like, well, if they can do it, I can.
Surely
do it.
I can do it.
I came from a long background of woodworkers. It's almost... genetic. I'm a woodworker from birth, you know. I can do this. And I came to quickly realize that guitars were a different animal.
Wow.
And while I could fix them and I could set one up to play beautifully, I taught myself to refret them. I just couldn't build one.
Wow.
So fast forward a decade after that experience, and I was getting back into playing a lot again, and I wanted a nice acoustic guitar, and I couldn't find one that was comfortable. Dreadnoughts are too big. They put my arm to sleep. OMs are just a little too small and weak sounding to really, you know, dig in and,
pick
on. You know, I just wasn't happy. And the world of the Grand Auditorium was really not out there. There were a couple of people who made them. They were pretty pricey, and they were kind of lackluster, in my opinion. One day I pulled out a sheet of paper, and I started drawing, and I... laid out and designed a guitar, and I
nice.
Set up a little wood shop in my basement, literally right under my dining room, in a room that was, I think, 12 by 14, maybe.
Yeah.
And I built that guitar.
Is that the first one right there?
That
wow.
One, right there.
That's a piece of history there.
And then I turned around, and I built three more.
Uh-oh. You had the disease at that point.
And originally, I still set out. I was just going to be a guitar builder, you know, and that's really what I wanted to do. But I've expanded so much beyond that and come to encompass so much more. But my passion is still to build guitars.
Well, let me just say a word about that guitar since people cannot see it. And you just explained this while we're sitting here ready to go live. If you, those of you familiar with a dreadnought guitar, your typical dreadnoughts, you know, it's this is a little...
The typical bluegrass guitar.
Right. Yeah, yes. That's a good way. This is wider at the lower bout, as they say, a little tighter on the at the waist and right about where it's and it in my opinion I look at that guitar and it's a unique shape. I mean, I don't mean strange. I mean is I could tell there's something different about it.
Right, it doesn't you can tell right away that that's not something you've readily seen or picked up. That shape's not in someone else's catalog.
Now, do you have people fall in love with what you made and say I want one of those?
Yes.
Nice.
I get for acoustic guitars, which I build fewer of because they are more expensive, they're more labor intensive.
Right.
Woods are generally a little more exotic and expensive. But when I do get requests, it's often to replicate that guitar with usually a difference in inlays in the fretboard and the rosette. You know, the adornments, the visual details.
Right. That's when you know you got a winner, though, I think.
But then we also get, you know, requests like that. That's a very high-end guitar. I made that for myself.
Right.
And it's very pretty. It has a lot of gingerbread on it.
I can
build guitars, you know, much more austere. Like an acoustic guitar, we could custom build a decent acoustic guitar similar in appointment to an 18 series Martin.
Yeah.
For roughly the same money. Maybe even a few dollars less depending on your wood choices.
Yeah.
And the thing I can give you that you don't get just buying it off the rack, because I could sell you a nice guitar right off the rack too.
Right.
But you get the experience of being part of that guitar.
Yeah, I always thought that would be cool.
There's like, decisions you get to make that you don't.
You meet with you get educated, you let that seep in, you say, you know, I've been thinking, you know, I want to go with this on the back and then the top. Yeah,
you,
I can.
You sit at
fun.
My counter, you look at actual pieces of wood that your guitar will be constructed of. You know, this will be your top, or, you know, do you want this one, that one?
And I like that someone can talk tone, because most people go, and especially buying a first guitar, and I want to go back to something you mentioned about, about building, I can work with wood. Why can't I build a guitar? But a lot of people coming in, two things. A lot of people that when I worked in a music retail business, a lot of people coming in were there to take, you know, oh, spruce, that's what I need. Okay, I'll get that. You know, but you talk like the differences, even talking about differences down the fretboard, backside. But the thing you mentioned about, and this is another plug for guys like you that actually try it and say, well, I'm either going to be good at this or I'm going to quit this. And you went back to the drawing board, so to speak, and got really good at it. But there was a guy coming in and saying, hey, I'm kind of good with wood, and I worked on, you know, I have a wood shop, and my son wanted an electric guitar. I think he thought he was Brian May's dad. And so he, a little inside joke there. He came in with a guitar that he made for, and it looked well put together. It was made of oak.
Mm-hmm. Well, back in the 80s, the couple of guitars that I actually did construct looked awesome. If you just wanted one to hang on your wall and look at it, they were great.
That was this guitar. It was like a book. God.
If you wanted something that made music and actually played like an instrument, they were very far from being it. As a matter of fact, when we moved out of that particular place where we were to the next place where I actually founded Howard Guitars then, almost a decade later, I had a big bonfire, and I burnt necks, I burnt bodies, I burnt the makings of probably...
That's...
eight guitars.
You know, that's equivalent to like a painter saying, you know, I've had it. That was my old period. I'm going to throw all my those pictures. Picasso right. having a bonfire, inviting his buddies over.
Right, exactly. It was that type of thing.
That's funny.
And I'll never forget when I first brought this back up because it was funny. Because when I burned all them guitars and everyone was just like, all my friends were so amazed. Like, you know, how can you do this? And it's like, well, you know, I learned my lesson. I'm never going to attempt this again.
Yeah, and that was the final reminder, so you have to burn them.
So one day, 10 years later, I'm sitting at dinner, and I stopped, and I looked at my wife. I said, you know, I think I'm going to try and build another guitar. And without even looking up from her dinner, without even looking up, she says, forgot how well that went already.
Okay, that's good.
But you know, all that aside, I mean, that's fun and that's joking. She's been,
how's that work?
She's been one of my biggest supporters and fans. When it comes to like design infringements and so forth, she's the bulldog.
Yeah, that'll tell you, hey, you probably don't want to do that.
Well, you know, because we had a conversation about, you know,
right.
a little bit of that.
Right.
I'm going to present that from the other side.
Okay.
Several years ago, there's a guitar show called the Woodstock Invitational Luthiers Showcase.
Nice.
It's held up in Bearsville, New York. And the show has changed a little bit over the years, but the format that I attended under, 50 luthiers from around the world were invited each year to participate.
What?
It was a juried show. You had to present evidence. You had to be a full-time working professional maker. So I went there and I exhibited.
Nice.
You know, and now I lost my train of thought.
we were talking about
the reverse trademark right. thing, right? Yeah. Okay.
It's you doing that today. Right. I'm using them.
So I built a series of guitars for exhibition because it's what you do when you're invited to an exhibition, right? And I pulled out all the stops. I came up with some really out there things, and I came up with this little rosette, and it was so simple, and it was done out of abalone and just black, and it looked like it was done out of little cobblestones. It was amazing. If I'd have realized when I just drew it on my sketch pad one day and said, I'm going to do this, the amount of work it would take, because I'd been actually saving little bits and offcuts of pearl and abalone from other inlay work for years. So I had this jar full. I'm like, I'm just going to pour this out and do like a cobblestone.
Yeah.
Nothing fit. I had to cut every little piece individually.
Oh, my God.
It turned out beautiful. And the guys from a very large guitar company we won't mention, they were very much in awe of it. And they waited till I went to the bathroom and tried to pry details on how it was done from my wife while she watched the table.
Wow.
You know. And a few years later, we were at that same show, I wasn't exhibiting, and lo and behold, that maker's custom department had a guitar with a rosette that was not identical, but very eerily similar.
Those bastards.
Actually, I'm flattered as hell.
Yeah.
I really am. You know, to have the design team of a major guitar maker look at your work and say,
that's
you
good
know,
enough to, for us to
we're going to do that.
Yeah. Because and what you meant by the reverse is they're the ones with an
right now. If it had been the other way around,
or you copied one of theirs,
right? I'd be getting a certified letter in the mail from a bunch of gray attorneys informing me that
who don't play guitar, probably.
Oh yeah. No, it's unfortunately I do know others in this industry who've been down that road, and it's not very.
Yeah, you got to be careful. It's like the songwriter. You know, I can't. You know, you just got to watch what you do, but that's got to be. So I'm gonna jump to the other one. You got another fine piece of equipment here.
So that's kind of a bit of a dream and a bit of a recreation all in one. When I was a kid, one of the few nice things anyone ever bought me was a boat anchor of a Gibson.
Yeah,
And it was a. It was that wine red finish that they came out with in the early 70s. You remember
that?
So I had one of them, and then going through a rough period or whatever, it was at a friend's place, and it got dinged and beat up, and it wasn't so pretty no more. So I sanded off that pretty finish and got some spray cans at the hardware store and went Eddie Van Halen on it. And a few years later, when I wore the frets out, I taught myself to refret on it and probably really destroyed any value it had.
Oh, no. Didn't go well?
No, I learned a lot. I wish I'd have learned it on a different guitar. I had destroyed another guitar learning to refret and thought that I had figured it out. I dove into this one only to realize that I still had a bit to learn.
Well, that's probably the one to do it on.
So that is partly homage to that guitar because I always loved that guitar and I wish I still had that guitar for a lot of reasons. But that's actually more the guitar that I wish it would have been.
And what little I know about it, that's way more than like someone like myself or half the people out there who have said, you know what, I want to throw together my own guitar. I can get a part. I can get parts from different places. But tell them all about the like, especially electronics. This blows me away.
Well, you know, you bring up the parts caster thing. You know, I am equipped at my shop to help those folks out as well. I carry a wide variety of small parts, stuff that you're going to forget you need.
Right,
it's
right.
Probably
I've seen your shop, yeah.
It's probably hanging on my wall or in my little cabinet behind my counter. I have screws and pickup rings and jack plates and jacks
knob
and potentiometers and knobs and capacitors and all that stuff that you say, oh, I need that.
Yeah.
You know, so I can help you out with all that stuff too. And where most people fail, like, you know, those guitars built on that Fender-esque model, the parts caster, where you can all parts.
Yes, WD, all parts.
I'm an all parts dealer. I'm a WD music dealer. So
nice.
You can get it direct from me and save on the shipping right there.
There you go. I like that.
So the biggest problem people have with those is it's not necessarily the assembly. That's all worked out when the pieces of wood are cut and stuff. If you use, you know, when you put the neck on, it's going to be in a range that should be workable. Where most people fail is setting up the instrument.
Right.
And you see that there's another big difference, like you bought a guitar from me a few weeks ago. Now, you could order that guitar online for the same price I sold it to you, and it could come straight to your door from Musician's Friend, Guitar Center, Amazon, whoever. But there's a big difference. That guitar just came off a boat, went into a truck, came to your door. Here it is.
Right.
Guitar. When that guitar comes into my shop, you know, I'm still that old-fashioned guitar shop. That guitar goes on my workbench, and it gets gone over top to bottom. If I don't like the strings, I change it out for a brand-new set of strings. It gets completely set up. Virtually every guitar gets its nut slots filed before I'm happy with it.
Well, and that must be why when I picked it up, I went, holy crap, this place is great.
Right. I mean,
I was coming.
They're really great guitars on their own right, but they become everything they can be because they've been gone over. So even the guy like, okay, so let's say you did get that guitar off Amazon. You know what? I don't hate you for it, but you really ought to bring it in and spend the $40-$60, whatever it is, to have it professionally adjusted and set up. You know, it will play so much better. It will sound so much better. You know, as a guitarist yourself, you know the importance of just those fine adjustments.
Oh, yes. I think I told you, I said, you know, I sold a guitar recently, and I just came from a Richard Thompson. The day before, I went to see Richard Thompson. I walk into your shop the day after. That was a recipe for buying a guitar right there. But I knew I wanted something, you know, I wanted something different than I have, but something that was playable. I picked that up, and I kept saying, God, this feels good. It looks great, but I kept talking about how it felt, and that was important. That's something I think that's because of the work you put into it, too.
Well, that's some of it. Like I say, those are fine guitars. Again, my guitar shop is curated. You know, most music stores and even other guitar shops like Guitar Center, they're not really curated. What does that mean? Well, curated means that I don't just like bring in whatever. I don't get six of whatever this manufacturer has to get rid of this month because I got six spots on my wall.
Or bring in what they tell you need to carry to be a dealer.
Right. Or bring in, I don't deal with companies like that. When I bring instruments into my shop, I'm bringing in instruments that I know meet a certain quality, and instruments that fill a niche here in the area. You know, because it seems like there's a whole lot of the same thing, no matter whose door you walk in.
Right.
And I'm not saying that there's anything bad with that range of products, but it's not the entirety of guitar world. You know, and you know as well as I do, you go into some of these other stores and you see the same things there forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them guitars have been there longer than the Coke machine in the parking lot.
Right.
You know, I'm not that type of a
I get
shop.
That.
You know, it's a curated collection. You know, when I take something in on trade, or buy something outright, you know, I'm looking at it, you know, is this something that, you know, I want to offer for sale here.
Right.
And, you know, I have other avenues for things that maybe, you know, I might be inclined to take a trade that I don't want to put on my wall. We can sell that online. We can do some other things with that. But when you come into the shop and you're looking at the guitars that are actually up and available, they've been selected. They've been selected to fill certain niches, to represent, you know, some of what's available. I don't bring in the top end of hardly anything, but if you want it, it's readily available. I can get it. I have other examples.
And I want to go into what you said before we went live about the type of shop you are. You sort of said it, but I'll remind you in a second. But before we do that, I want to make sure I'm doing my job and don't forget. Where can people find you on social media, on the net, or wherever? Right.
All right,
phone numbers, anything you want to give out, do that right now.
We are Howard Guitars. We are at 7 South Main Street, Magnolia, Delaware. You can plug us into Google Maps and find us there. The phone number, 302-310-2035. And you can find a lot of what's in my shop on the web at www.howardguitarsdelaware.com. Not everything in the shop is up in the web store, but usually some of the nicer pieces are.
But that's
available.
Good. They need a reason to come in your shop. Let's get them in there.
Right. And you know, I do run specials. And you can find us on Facebook at Howard Guitars. You can also find us on Instagram at Howard Guitars Delaware. I do run specials, but you know, I no longer put those specials up on any place. If you want to know what's on special this week, you got to stop in.
I like that. I like that. You know what? That's now you got me. I'm thinking, damn it. You know?
And that goes too.
No, that's a great idea.
We're getting some nice used guitars in, and they, you know, they don't last because, like I say, I'm selecting what we bring in, what we bring through. And the used instruments are usually not even on my wall a week before they're gone. So I mean, if you're not in, you know, somewhat regular, you might be missing some really nice stuff.
And let me tease them a little bit. I saw one of your own guitars that was traded in for another one or something.
Yeah.
There's a good story. Oh, wait,
that's one of the guitars from the Woodstock show. That's
okay.
Actually one of the exhibition pieces.
Yeah, and that's something
that got traded back
in. If people go in and see that, they're getting, without going into...
Right, and that right now, because it has been out on the road, is really an incredible value. You know, I could barely build you that guitar without the adornments and details for the price it's hanging for.
I know. So get in there. Hey, one other thing before it leaves my mind, because I got a horrible memory. I think I've already forgotten it already. You mentioned, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about the people who have bought your guitars and what percentage of them are repeat. Because that says that speaks volumes.
Yeah. So as I said, we just now, January 1st, entered our 11th year as Howard Guitars.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been tough. You know, a lot of people looked at me very oddly when I said I was going to do this. You can make a living at that. I'm here to tell you, you can. You're not going to live like Bill Gates or nothing,
right,
but you can do it. So, we started What was the original? See, now you guys, it's contagious. You got me.
Yeah. We were talking about the people who...
Right, the people... Okay, so we managed to go back through, and I can give you some statistics from that first decade. I built roughly 50-some guitars.
And that again, that speaks a lot, because that means that's testament to the quality.
My highest year, I think I built like 10 or 11 guitars in one year.
And you were probably pushing it.
That was, we had some other hopes and aspirations at that time, and that was still when I was going to hang guitars in every guitar shop across the country. I scaled back. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to. I want to build a guy like you a guitar. Yeah. The person listening to this, I want to make you a guitar. Yeah. I want to make you your guitar.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
Anyway, I built 50-some guitars. And I'm still building 3 to 4 custom guitars a year. Currently, about 20 to 25% of my current work is going to people who already own one of my other custom guitars.
Jeez, that's...
And it's almost 25% of my client base owns more than one of my instruments.
Wow. And again, because of the nature of the quality you're getting and what they're investing in this, to be able to say, man, I like that so much, it's worth it for me to go get
right,
another
because,
one.
Because what
amazing.
People don't, what people don't realize is, the cards are stacked against the small maker me. Especially, guitar guys in general tend to be gearheads. Sometimes they're in love with falling in love.
Right. right.
And some of these guys, as you know, buy and sell faster than I do, and I'm in the business. when it comes to resale values, a custom guitar like mine or made by some of my contemporaries who run other little
right.
operations, the name recognition isn't there.
Right.
So that guitar doesn't sell well in a regular retail environment being traded in for a better known brand. That's the real hurdle that most people need to finally jump over before they're ready to
right.
to do this. And usually they get to me because these days, probably 30 to 40% of the people who find me have been turned down by one of the major custom shops.
Turned down
because...
I didn't know it was...
Well, a major factory's custom shop isn't... it's not what I do. It's not a little room where one guy builds a guitar.
Yeah.
I can make you anything you want.
That's custom.
right. The custom shop at a major factory is a work cell. And anything that can go through normal production channels does.
Okay.
They pull your pieces out, do the custom adornments, the inlay, run you through for your one-off spin or finish, make sure you get your special species of wood for your backstripe on your neck or your
right.
head plate or whatever. But that's where it ends. The guy who owns the absolute most of my instruments found me because a certain custom shop refused to build him a very popular model with an extra string.
Wow.
He wanted an 8-string version, and they say, we don't do that.
Doesn't sound like that. They're in the custom business, does
that
it?
That was pretty much his comment. And I had done other work for him. We had known each other, and he just posted the question to me. He says, what would you think about something like this? He says, because you've made new necks for bodies I have. You've made new bodies for necks I have. The only thing we haven't done is... And I'm like, write it down. Write down what you want.
Right.
And let me put a price on it. And he wrote it down. And I put a price on it. And we built it. And
nice.
A year later, he called and had another one built. And currently, we're talking about doing something else, and I don't know what this is going to be. He's thrown some pretty out there ideas at me. It's like,
he's testing you.
Yeah. as long as we don't get anywhere near the size of an upright bass, my shop will handle it. So.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, I can't believe we're already coming to the time. No, this is good. This is really good, and I just want to make sure because I dig your stuff. I dig your vibe. I finally got my butt in your shop, and I'm glad I did. I'm going to have to be one of those guys that pop in every week and say, okay, what's the special?
Yep, I got a few of them. They pop by on their regular days of the week just to see what we might have, what's going on. If you are in the area and you're into guitars or, you know, fretted instruments, and there's something you want, you need, I have access to virtually all the brands and all that stuff. I can get you most of what you would want or need at a fair price. And if there's something you would like to see a shop in the area actually carry, you know, like your particular brand of strings, or you like a certain type of pick.
Can I tell them, other than the Eastman guitar we were talking about, there's another electric guitar you carry?
I am also Delaware's Dan Electro dealer.
I think that's important.
And for those who haven't played a Dan Electro lately, you're really missing out. They're made at one of the highest quality Korean factories, along some very reputable brands of guitars.
If you've dug the mojo that the Dan Electro has always had, I got it when I was in there 2 weeks ago. I saw some of them. I mean, you got one that looks like a sitar-shaped body. You got the double cutaways.
The sitar is a unique instrument. So when you hear a lot of them old classic Beatles and Stones songs where someone's playing a sitar, it was never a sitar.
Really?
It was the original version of that instrument. That's a reissue.
Oh.
The original had an extra pickup and a few other bells and whistles, but basically, that's a reissue of the exact same instrument that was used on, you know, all them classic Stones and Beatles and other groovy things in the 60s.
Yeah, I didn't think there were a bunch of British invasion bands going around learning the sitar.
Exactly. because, again, being a luthier and a sitar does have frets, I have actually worked on one or two. They are incredibly complex instruments.
Oh, I know. They're crazy. Yeah. I think it's important to let people know that you carry that and you do not just repairs, but just reconstructions, or taking the frets themselves, but even the fretboard off.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to mention, too, when you were talking about all the places they can find you, you can also find him on my webpage, because I'm always saying, oh, that's cool, I'm going to share that. But really, really cool.
Yeah, custom adornments for your own guitars. I do custom inlay work for people all the time. A popular one these days is swapping out fretboards, because your choices of fretboard material have become very limited on production run guitars.
Right.
And guys still want, you know, the really nice dark ebony boards, and I can still get them. I still got them, and we still do them. People send that stuff to me from all over the country. Talk about moving down here. You know, a lot of people are, how do you just do that? How do you just pick up and move, you know, a whole state away and just plug yourself back in and do this? Well, I could do that only because half of my business follows me anywhere I go.
Right.
Because a lot of the actual really tough work I do, the restorations, the harder repairs, they come in, they're shipped in FedEx, they're shipped in UPS, they get shipped back. A lot of that's done for actual other music stores. I still do work for other guitar builders around the country.
Yeah, I think the more people know about you, the more you're actually the real deal, and it's been a pleasure having you in here. I'm sorry we got to wind it up, but this is great. Thanks for coming in, and once again, Brian Howard of Howard Guitars, and you can find them all over.
Magnolia, Delaware. Best thing to do is walk in my door. If not, you can find links to everything else we got going on at www.howardguitarsdelaware.com.
Thank you very much.